Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And you're probably listening to this at the tippy end of July or beginning of August, right? Or at any time, really. First of all, I just want to thank, I have two people who bought me 5 cups of coffee, which is $25, and I appreciate that. And I also feel that you're trying to tell me how much I've helped you, and that means more to me than anything. So again, the link to buy me coffee is in the description for the podcast, and anything is appreciated because, again, I am working part-time right now. Okay. So I was thinking about what I was going to talk about today, because I don't want to go over narcissistic traits, or I just did one about, you know, that was more about the narcissist, right? And those usually get a lot of downloads. Someone gave me an idea in my group. Don't forget that I have a private Facebook group. The link is in the description. It is private. I have me and another moderator, and we do check, and we do try to keep it as safe as possible. I keep an eye on the posts. Please feel free to join for support. Okay, so going back to what am I going to talk about today? And something occurred to me while she asked this question in my group about the careers that we have chosen as daughters and sons of narcissistic mothers or narcissistic parents. And I think that she had a good point, and I cannot deny the fact that a lot of us have gone into fields where we are showing the love to others that we wish we had had ourselves. So a lot of helping, loving, caring fields, right? Number one seems to be teacher. It just is, from what I can tell. And yes, I was a teacher for 6 years. Teaching is not, and I think a lot of you know this, is not what you think is going to be before you teach. And then you get there and you realize, I really can't be that nurturing person as a teacher, because we are forced by state guidelines and district guidelines to do things in a certain time span. And it's a rush to get material into these kids' brains, which they will forget after they take a test. And, you know, that's what teaching is, and dealing with a lot of classroom management issues. That's, I mean, it really is that. I live in Florida, and I left teaching in 2012, and I have not had to deal with what's going on now, but I was a math teacher, so a lot of the things that are being implemented are more for history teachers and language arts, English teachers, because they have to deal with the books that are banned, and then teaching American history in a different way, that is not true. So basically gaslighting the kids. That's how I see it. I'm sorry if you don't agree with me, but things are changing. And some of you may not know. I don't really want to get into the details of it, but our governor wants to change how slavery is taught in history. And they're just changing what really happened. That's it. They want to change it. Teach it to the kids so they will think things are different with slavery. And I don't agree with it. 100% don't agree. I think it should be taught the way that it really happened. And honestly, only a black person that has experience should be teaching it. That's it. That's my opinion. And I'll stand by it. I don't think that they should soften it in any way. It happened the way it happened. And it has affected these people forever. All right. So, yeah, he's a narcissist for sure. I mean, this is... It does tie in a little because our governor is a narcissist. He thinks he can change everything. I think that if someone comes in, the first opportunity of another governor to get their hands on the state, they're going to change everything back and even go farther back and be more progressive, because we are going back in time and that is not okay with me. All right. Moving on. So we've gone into professions that where we want to help people. I closely considered a couple of years ago going back to school to get my master's in psychology so I could become a therapist. Because I thought that was the best way to help people that were like me, that had a narcissistic mother or a narcissistic parent. And I decided not to, because I realized that I was going to be surrounded by stories. And I'm an emotional person. And to be a therapist, you have to separate yourself a little bit. My therapist is a wonderful woman. And I don't know how she does it, because she's so empathetic. How she doesn't take in our stories and how she manages to not let it affect her life. I know that's part of the training to become a therapist, is learning to separate yourself from your job. But I don't know how she does it. So I decided it wasn't the right path for me. And I am doing this, and I have been doing this, right? The podcast to help people, and it has been helping people. And that's good enough for me. I don't have to be a therapist, right? I can tell you what I think and my experiences, and you can agree, disagree. It's all okay with me, right? You can disagree with me if you have a good argument, right? I have an open mind. You have to have a good argument, though. You have to have a good, you know, you can't just throw God at me and say that that's the reason that we should honor thy mother and thy father, because if you look in the Bible, the phrase doesn't end there. But I'm not going to get into religion either, because that's, you know, I touch politics and religion today. I'm just on a roll. I just want to upset everybody. But I've had that on Instagram. I've had people just throw you have to be more empathetic and sympathetic about your parent because they suffered as well. And God says, and I'm like, yeah, that's not, you have to give me a real reason, right? You can do what you want. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm telling you what I did and what I've learned. And a lot of you're validated by my experiences, and that's why you listen. And I know that a lot of times I come off as the no contact person, and that is because that was what was right for me, right? And I've said that many times, but I think come off as the no contact person because it was right for me. But I don't think no contact is right for everybody, or no contact may take you a long time. And that is okay with me, obviously. I'm not here to tell you what to do. This is for educational purposes, to learn about my experience and what I have learned about narcissism. I'm not a therapist. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I want you to do what's best for you. But anyway, going back to, once again, let me see if I can stay on track this time. Once again, going back to the careers that we've chosen, there's a lot of nurses, seen that too. Human resources, that's also me, okay? My career started in HR. Now, that wasn't my choice. I was, if some of you know my story, when I was finishing sophomore year, well, when I was going into my junior year in college, my mother decided to take me out of college because she wanted to. Okay, she used an excuse and told the family a lie about how I wasn't going to classes, and that wasn't what was happening at all. I did get a D in one class, but I had 6 classes that semester. Most kids mess up one class. I had a 4.0 average GPA freshman year. And the beginning of sophomore year, the second semester, I had that 1D, which brought my GPA down. But every other class, I was A's or B's. And that one class, she made the excuse that that's the reason. We're not going to pay for you to go to school and not do well, right? My ex went to the same school. He failed a class, and his aunt paid for him to retake it. Okay, so... And she smeared me to the whole family. So that's my story. I did graduate, but I graduated while I was married, working, and going to school. And I did graduate, not from that school because I couldn't afford it, but, and it was too far from where I worked anyway. So I had to choose a school that was close and that I could afford to pay for. And I did. I paid for it upfront every semester. And I got my degree, and that's what's important, right? Okay, so when I was pulled out of school, I had been given a choice when I was graduating from high school. You either work or go to school, and I always wanted to go to school, so that was my choice. She took the choice away, right, by telling me, you can't go back, you have to find a job. She told me I had to find a job, so... Through my former college, they helped me find a job, which ended up being a job that I was at for a long time. And I worked for Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center for 8 years. So, you know, some things that my mother did in the end backfired a bit because I don't think she expected me to stay there for 8 years and it become my career. And I have... flip-flopped a little bit, you know, as far as career-wise. I did HR, and I wanted to become a teacher, and I did that for 6 years, and then I was done with that. And when I quit teaching, the economy was really bad. I couldn't find a job. People look at your resume, and if you have teaching on there, they don't want to hire you for anything else. It's funny because I'm back in HR, and I'm doing heavy recruiting right now, and... there is a bias, even, and I am forcing myself not to be biased, but even when I'm looking at a resume and it's a teacher who wants to get back into or go into the work world outside of teaching, I look at it and go, oh, she only has teaching experience. I have to force myself to say, yeah, and she has skills that are above and beyond most jobs that is needed for most jobs. Because being a teacher is hard. So I have to force myself. But the first thought is, all she knows how to do is teach. And that's not the case. So I'm back in HR. I went right back. Now, so we've talked about teaching, HR, nursing. And there are many, many other fields, caring fields, that children of narcissists go into. Okay, I'm sure there's a lot of therapists out there that have gone into it because of that, including my own. But we tend to gravitate. And the thing is, it's not just that I'm in HR, but I'm in a non-for-profit organization. I don't want to work for a for-profit company. I just don't. So it means I'm never going to be rich, right? I'm never going to make a lot of money. but I cannot work for a company that's out just to make money. I can't work with that. I have to work with a mission, a real mission, right? That is to help others. And that the place I work at, that is the number one thing, is to help others. So by being in HR and hiring the right people to be our mission is how I am looking at it, because that is what's going on. That's what's happening. And there's a lot of you also that work for non-for-profit organizations for the same reason I just said. So our careers have been chosen for us in a way because of our past and the way we were raised. Now, that's not everybody. So that's not going to include all of you listening, right? You're not all in a field where you're helping other people. Some of you are in fields where it is high stress. You may be lawyers out there, doctors. Not that doctors is like number one helping people. And lawyers can be too, depending on what kind of law you practice, right? Actually, even the ones that defend criminals, I mean, that's a right that a criminal has to be defended. So lawyers help people too, but lawyers manipulate things, right? It's a little different. I have personal experience with my lawyer. My lawyer was awesome at being a lawyer, but a complete jerk as a person, right? But that's what I needed. I needed someone who was going to be tough because I'm not tough, right? And he was. And he was awesome. And I would recommend him to anybody in my area. And I have in the past. I have recommended him. Anyway, moving on. So our careers. So what I see is like this split of wanting to be in the helping in a career where you're helping and loving people and caring, and careers where you are extremely effective because that is what you are taught by your narcissist. My mother was kind of that one that was like, you have to work to make money, you can't ever be out sick. You know, I mean, she was that person. And I'm surprised that I didn't go into a field where it was about hustling and making more money. Sales or something different, you know? I mean, you could say almost any career, you could probably, like real estate, that helps people. But real estate is more about selling the house, right? There's not going to be realtors out there that are truly wanting to sell the cheapest house to people. Okay. Actually, where I work is kind of related in a way to real estate. But we are trying to help people that need housing to get a house or get a place to live. And that's different. We're not trying to make a commission, right? But Not, and please don't take my pointing out some careers as putting people down. Every career is necessary. We need people to work in every area. So that is what it is, right? It's not about my judgment on anything. I'm just saying a lot of us do go into like those fields where we're mothering other people. But again, it's not all of us. Some of us went the other way. It's like what I say about, and I've said this before, but it's been a while since I've talked about it. When we were growing up, being a child of a narcissistic parent, especially if you're a daughter of a narcissistic mother, okay, now I'm not leaving out the sons, but the relationship between a son and a mother is different, or a son and a father is different than a daughter and her mother. Right? The daughter looks up to her mother to be who she is going to be in the future. And we didn't have anything to look up to. Right? And we were trying to please our mothers all the time. But there are two situations that happened. And this is something that I've read. These are research things. when we were teenagers, we went one way or the other. We became the docile, just always trying to please our mothers, always wanting the acceptance, bending over backwards to make her happy, or we rebelled. And that could have come later too. I mean, you could have been in your 20s when you rebelled. I am the latter. I was the docile one. I was the one that did everything right. I did everything right. She didn't see it that way, but that doesn't mean I didn't do it right. And see, look, I still have trouble with accepting the fact that I was blamed for a lot of things I didn't do, and things that I did do, I was told, you're a bad person for doing it, but I really wasn't. That was my world. And then there's those that said, really? I had a friend, and I'm not going to judge her mother or father as being narcissists, but they were very strict raising her. Okay, so I don't know the inner workings to say she had toxic parents. She had very, very strict parents, though. I know that much. I mean, she wasn't allowed to do anything. Yes, I know. I know that points to it, but I'm not going to jump past judgment. And when she went off to college, she did dorm. She was in a college that wasn't too far. It was in New York State, but she wasn't home, and she pierced her eyebrow, and she was doing all sorts of things, and that happens. If you have been living a life where you have been restricted and sheltered in a way of control, because the sheltering is to control you, it's not to protect you, right? We talked about that. I talk about that in my podcast, not the last one, the one before, about overprotection. Then when you go off to college and you have some freedom, oh, boy, are you going to have fun, right? And I never got that opportunity. When did I do that? When did I rebel? When I was 31 years old? That's when I rebelled. Because at 31, I got divorced. I was single for the first time in my life. And by single, I mean I lived on my own. I lived in my own apartment. I paid the bills. And nobody was telling me what to do at that point, right? I mean, my mother was trying. My ex was being, you know, a typical narcissistic ex who was trying to hurt me constantly. But they weren't living in my house. So I could literally say whatever you want, and I'm going to do what I want. I was also on an antidepressant that made me a little bit manic, maybe would be the word. It worked too well, right? It's funny because recently I tried to get on it again, and it gave me the worst anxiety I have felt since I started working at Sloan Kettering, that I had a 2-week period of straight anxiety. It was bad, and it was the medication, because our bodies change, our brain chemistry changes, and my body was like, you don't need this, and I stopped it, and I have been okay. I've been okay. But the side effects lasted. I only took it for a week and a half, and I took the smallest dose, and it took me like 4 or 5 days for the effect to wear off. It was horrible. I'm not saying not to take it. If you can tolerate it, that's great, and you need it. I'm not anti-medication. It doesn't work for me. Anyway, so we went one way or we went another way, right? And with careers, we probably did, I guess if we were more of the docile kind that tried to, you know, get our mothers to love us, we probably went into one of those fields, nursing, teaching, helping fields, while the one who rebelled probably did different things, right? Chose different majors. and their careers are completely different because they weren't trying. They were trying to rebel against the mother, so they probably went completely against their own instincts on what they wanted to do. Yeah, so that is a thing, that what we do as an adult, as a career, ends up being something that is influenced by how we were raised. Now, being a teacher, I still don't know 100% if it was a career that I had chosen. I thought it was, that I wanted to teach since I was a little kid. But my mother was a teacher, and if you were mentioned teaching in front of her, you would hear about her experiences teaching. But she was a teacher in Cuba. It was a different thing that she did than I did. And I used to tell her that. I didn't always let her gaslight me for some reason. Like, I didn't know she was trying to gaslight me, but when she said something that just I didn't like, I stood up to her. There were times that I didn't let her do it because it was like, no, you're wrong and you know what you're talking about. Right? I was a high school math teacher. I taught 9th and 10th grade intensive math. So I was teaching algebra and geometry to kids that hated math. That's the bottom line. Okay? And we're talking high school kids in the early to mid to late 2000s. Okay? That's the kids that I taught. My mom taught in a little schoolhouse in the middle of nowhere in Cuba. She taught math, but she taught, like, kid. It was, if I'm not mistaken, from the story I heard 1,000 times at least, was that she taught kids from 1st to 6th grade. Because it was one schoolhouse. It was like Little House on the Prairie for you American people who have seen it, and I'm sure other people from other countries have seen it as well. So that's the idea. That's how I saw it in my head, and that's how I'm going to present it to you. And she would say, well, I did this and I did that, and I'm like, you cannot compare yourself to me. I am teaching high school kids that hate me the day they walk into class because they don't like math. And I'm teaching algebra and geometry. I would tell her, I bet you can't solve an equation. And she would get angry at me, but I didn't care. I wasn't going to let her get away with telling me that she could compare herself to me. Because she could not. Right? I actually had a college degree and had to go through a whole summer of teacher training, like fast track teacher training, to get a certificate to teach here. While in Cuba, it was more of a technical school. She had like 2 years of, I guess, an associate's degree, and then, you know, she became a teacher. So it's a different monster. Mine was a monster. Mine. She was a kitten in comparison. So I don't know still to this day, I don't know if I wanted to teach or if it was because she talked about teaching so much when I was a little kid that I thought I wanted to be a teacher. But in reality, I don't know. But I thought I did, so I wanted to try it. And like I said, I still to this day don't know. I know that I will never be a teacher again. That when I quit teaching and I had a situation with a principal who was, calling her a narcissist is kind, okay? She was, I think, a dark triad. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. Dark triads are the most evil of the narcissist, because they're narcissist, Machiavellian, and oh, I forget the other one. What is the other one? There's three conditions that fall under dark triad. Psychopath, right? That's the third one. This woman was she was if she wasn't a dark triad, she's very close to it, because she was really strange as far as, like, she treated me different every day. Like, one day she would say hello, and the next day she would ignore me. I had been warned about her, but I didn't believe I would be her target. She had done this before. She had bullied a teacher until they quit many times before, and I didn't think I'd be her target because I was a nice person. And I thought to myself, I'm a nice person. Why would she target me? Because you're a nice person. That's why she targeted you. She saw, remember, narcissists are looking for that kind of hole in people, and that kind of, I can manipulate them because they're nice. And it took 2 years, but I walked out of the job and the district was behind her. The district was supporting her, and, well, I'm not going to get into it. Let's just say, I learned my lesson about teaching. If you have a bad supervisor, you need to get out quickly. Okay, that's advice I will give anybody. If you're dealing with a narcissistic boss, quit your job, but not without another job. But just, if you're in a bad situation, start looking for work to get out of there. Having a narcissistic boss is the most horrible thing you can do for yourself. You will be depressed, anxious. They will destroy your life. This woman destroyed my life. I went into a downward spiral that I am now coming out of. Okay? Well, I did work 1 year at the American Cancer Society 2 years later, and I do feel like that was where I kind of started to get better, but I quit that job because I wasn't making much money. And then again, it was jobs that weren't great. And I ended up not working for years, or working for at a job for a month or month and a half. I was so traumatized by my experience with that, with starting so many things. And I have done EMDR, because I wanted this job to work out. And I just finished my 8th week. And I have a boss who is, he has his moments like everybody else. This week was kind of stressful. But he is a really awesome person. He's funny, but he's funny like my husband. He's funny in the, like, dry sense of humor. He is a kind man, and I'm very lucky to have him as a boss, and I do appreciate that. And that's another thing I will tell you: if you are at a job where you are happy, even if you're not making the amount of money you wish, and you're not struggling, because if you're struggling financially, of course, you need to do something about that. But if you are happy and you're not struggling, don't quit. Don't just leave a situation that you're happy in, because I regret having left the American Cancer Society. Now, granted, after COVID, there are no local offices. I would have not been working there anyway, but I would have worked there for years until COVID, because I was happy there. My boss was a sweet woman who was recovering from, actually, I think she was being treated for cancer while she was my boss. She was so sweet. I never thought that a boss, a supervisor, could be like her, and she was awesome. And I regret having left there. And when I went on interviews after that job, a lot of times that was like, why did you leave there? And I said, well, I was looking for more money, but I regret having left. And because it's the truth, I still regret it, you know? But I found a niche here. I found a place where I'm doing, because at the American Cancer Society, I wasn't doing HR, which was my thing. And I wasn't, like, it was event planning, kind of. And it was new. It was something different. And I'm in HR now, but I'm in a nonprofit, a famous one, but I'm not going to say which one. And I have a boss who's really great. So I have everything I had at the American Cancer Society. And I'm working in a field that I'm very familiar with. And things have changed a lot since the last time I worked in HR. So I'm learning with this man. He's understanding of that, and he's trying to push me to learn, you know, employment law, catch up to from the last time I did HR to now. And, you know, things have changed, and they've changed for the better in the HR world. And I'm glad things are changing in that way, you know. And I know a lot of it has to do that it's a nonprofit, but it is a good place to work. Anyway, enough about me. But that is the thing. I will always be searching for that when I'm looking for work, right? For the really nice boss, which you won't really know until you're there. But I didn't get any gut feeling about him, right? When I interviewed for that teaching position with the toxic principal, I met her that day, and she gave me that my gut was like, ew, immediately, and I didn't listen. Now, to be honest, the place I was working at as a teacher, the kids were very troubled. Those kids were very difficult, and those 2 years that I had worked there were very difficult for me. And I thought, well, if I teach in middle school, I was teaching sixth grade math, it'll be better because the kids are still kids. And it was. It was so much better for me to teach these kids. But the problem was her, the principal. So, you know, the best experience I had in teaching were the first two. I taught at a high school where the administration was fine. So the principal was okay. I'm friends with him on Facebook, so, you know, okay. He wasn't awful. He had problems, but not with me. So, okay. And then the other administrators, I had a couple that really liked me, saw the potential, saw how I had improved and went from 1 year to the next. They really liked me and they wanted to keep me, but that year was 2008 where the housing market crashed and they let go of any teacher that had not been teaching for three years, and they let me go and kept a young girl, 22-year-old girl, who had a reputation from the kids. Some kids asked to be switched to my class from her class because she was not a good teacher. And it turned out a year later that she had been moved to work in the library. And then the following year, she was let go. They should have kept me. And I had the satisfaction of telling the principal that, because I posted something kind of vague on Facebook. And he messaged me thinking it was about him. Talk about feeling guilty, right? And I actually said, no, that was not about you. I told him who it was about. I said, I worked at this school and it was this principal. I had no problems. He's not here. He's in Georgia. He's a superintendent up in Georgia. So I didn't have a problem telling him who it was. I said, she made my life difficult and I quit. And I said, but I will tell you this. If you had not let me go in 2008, I would probably still be a teacher at that school because I did love working there. And he apologized, and you know, that was nice. It was nice to get that, you know, that moment. Anyway, wow, I have talked for a long time. I don't even know how long at this point. I can't. Guys, I use GarageBand, and the numbers are tiny. It's for, like, the time is passing, but I can't see it. I'm going to wrap up. I kind of went off on a tangent to tell you my story, which is really what my podcast is about. Right? But if I could tell you anything, is if you're in a helping career and you're happy, even if you're not making what you wish you made and you're not struggling, I'm not saying stay in a situation where you're struggling financially, because things have changed. The inflation here is crazy. And my job, I mean, I've only gotten paid a few times, like three. I've had three paychecks so far. My fourth one is next Friday. So we kind of bought things that we hadn't been able to buy in the last few years, right? I had to buy clothes. My husband went and got his eyes checked. You know, things like that. My money has kind of gone, you know. So this next paycheck is going to be, you know, more keeping it more, you know, holding on to the money a little bit more. I don't have to spend on makeup. Oh, that was the first thing I did, was buy $150 worth of makeup. That was the first thing I did with my first paycheck. because, you know, that's my other passion, which my mother would never had let me do younger. I didn't really have a passion for it younger. This is something I really discovered in maybe the last 6 months or so. And that is a passion of mine, but not to do other people's makeup. It's just a thing I like for myself. So I do watch, I'm in makeup TikTok, and I do get a lot of those products that those TikTokers tell you to buy because it's great. No, they're not always great. That's all I'm to say, right? They're getting paid to say that because we trust them and we don't know they're really advertising to us. But now I'm more aware of whenever they go, well, use this product. It's, oh my God, look. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, you're getting paid to say that. Okay. So I'm not going to be doing that. I'm not going to be spending $150 in makeup out of one paycheck. You know, I have the products now that I know I like, and I will keep purchasing those when they run out. But I'm not going to go and start testing out. I do need one. There is one thing, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, moving on. My mother would have never let me be a makeup artist, because at one point I thought maybe I wanted to train to become a massage therapist. And my mother was like, you can't do that. You know, she made it seem like I was doing something horrible by thinking about becoming a massage therapist. I don't see what's so horrible about that. And I didn't even consider it after she said that to me, because, you know, she was still controlling me. So if you're in a job that you love and you have enough money, don't leave because you want to make more and it's just something you want, because it might be difficult to find a supervisor like the one you have, or a situation where you are comfortable in. Okay? That's just my experience. Okay? I'm telling you that from experience. And on the flip side, if you are in a job that you are anxious about all the time, thinking about it, worrying about it, because your boss is on top of you and they're basically your parent, right? So they're narcissistic. Get out. Start looking for work yesterday and get another job and leave. Because that situation is going to ruin your life if it hasn't already. Okay? That's my advice to you. Again, take it or leave it as much as you can. I mean, there are situations that where you can't leave, and I understand that. And again, I'm not judging. This is my advice based on my experience. If I could go back, I wouldn't quit the American Cancer Society, right? I would stay there because I was comfortable there. I liked, for the most part, the people I worked with. Right? It was a small office. I was happy going to work in the morning. The drive was really quick. That's another thing about this job. It's not that far away. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are coming with this new job. I just hope no one discovers from my job, no one has a narcissistic parent and finds my podcast. I have not said anything negative, because it's not negative, and I haven't said where I work either, but they would know it was me. They would know. So if any of you are from that world of mine, hi, I do this too. Don't tell anybody. All right. Anyway, I'm going to end there. I love you guys very much. I hope I was able to validate you. And if you're in a bad situation at work, get out. It's not worth it. It's not worth your health and your mental health. I love you guys very much. And until next time.